All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. Happy Monday. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you if the Lakers should actually consider trading LeBron James.
And if social media is ruining the NBA. But we start every day with a Whitlock. Go get a big dog.
Based on the reaction across social media, you'd think Antonio Brown signed the Emancipation Proclamation over the weekend. You'd think AB freed the NFL players and showed them the path to being NBA players. NBA player Jared Dudley tweeted that AB changed the way NFL players get leverage. Chiefs guard Jeff Allen called Brown a disruptor. Bears corner Prince Amukamara tweeted the Captain Phillips meme. I am the captain now.
All right, captain.
Across social media, you can hear NFL players shouting, "We's free! We's free!" No, you're one day closer to civil war with NFL owners. One inch closer to a catastrophic work stoppage when the current collective bargaining agreement expires at the end of the 2020 season. And unlike the good guys in this country's last civil war, you don't clearly have the moral high ground. Not with fans, your customer base. Antonio Brown didn't change the game. He doubled down on a corrosive mentality pervasive throughout the modern American society. By any means necessary, secure the bag. Secure the bag. It's a popular phrase among the young and the woke, and it basically means do whatever is necessary to secure your financial security. The bag is filled with cash. The bag justifies all behavior. Antonio Brown is the male version of Cardi B. He wrapped his way into a beef with his primary enablers, Big Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin, and the Rooney family. The beefs were all exaggerated to mask his real agenda. More money.
Cardi!
It's the exact same playbook Colin Kaepernick used to shake down the NFL. That's why the same people who applauded Kaepernick's bold scheme to secure the bag are now applauding Antonio Brown's move to Oakland. It's all from the same tree, a tree rooted in social media, a tree fertilized by the original STB, socially transmitted bigotry. Social media has helped convince Brown and other NFL players, particularly the former ones on TV dissecting the sport, that they're at war with bigoted NFL owners who won't give them guaranteed contracts like NBA players because NFL owners, they're racist.
Yeah.
It couldn't be because the NFL owners are superior businessmen and have created a business infinitely more popular, powerful, and profitable than the NBA. A business that supports 1,700 players as opposed to the NBA's 450. Nah. It's just easier to insinuate NFL owners are evil and are the sworn enemies of the players their league enriches. Demagoguery is the substitute for leadership. The truth is, the billionaire NFL owners and the millionaire players are natural partners who are being pitted against each other for the destruction of football. Let me give you a non-Civil War analogy. Antonio Brown's embarrassment of the Rooney family is the Bay of Pigs, which led to the Cuban Missile Crisis, which put the planet at the precipice of nuclear annihilation. Adam Schefter described NFL teams as distraught over Brown's big Oakland payday. Schefter said it's a big win for Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, and Amari Cooper. The NFL is not going to operate like the NBA, where star players play when and where they want, and the regular season has no intensity or relevance. There's going to be a work stoppage in 2 years. Antonio Brown's victory will be short-lived. NFL owners are going to secure the Brinks trucks. All right, joining the desk now, former Pro Bowl linebacker Sean Merriman. Marcellus, start with you. Did Antonio Brown's big move from Pittsburgh to Oakland and all that money, did it help or hurt NFL players?
I don't see how it can hurt. Let's get off the fence. I think it's going to help if I'm forced to make a decision here. Let's think about it. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the team that's represented in the NFL, one of the 32, a year ago had Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell on the roster. And now what they have in place of those two star athletes, maybe their two best players, is a third and fifth round pick. And how is that going to be better for the Pittsburgh Steelers? And then if you look at the NFL landscape, you look at what Antonio Brown did, one of the hardest workers in the game. He was able to get to a situation he desired. He was able to get there on his own volition, okay, he had to throw a tantrum to get it, but guess what? A lot of players in different sports, NBA, NFL, have to do the same thing. He landed in a place of desire. So I think this comes down to two things. The word self-ish or the word selfless has the same root word, self. A lot of times fans get deluded. A lot of times we get lost in the sauce and not understanding what that self is about. This is a business, and he made a business decision about him, the corporation, himself. It's another thing to choose principle, and you go out there and choose principle with the L-E. You sound like that person. Fans sound like that person. Go out there and speak on your truth, your merits, your belief. Sometimes you speak on principle with the A-L. Just the money, baby. I was one of those players, Exhibit A, that said, I'm going to talk about the money, and that's going to direct my decisions, and it's not going to be to the detriment of the league. I think it's going to be to Antonio Brown's favor. He landed somewhere he desired.
I agree with Marcellus, and to this point, he did throw a tantrum, right? I mean, he did.
Had but to.
Only a handful of guys are able to put in that position where he can do that and still live, right? Because anyone else not in his position do that, you can probably cut yourself out of legal, cut yourself out of the rest of the teams wanting you. Now, you might have I have a problem with what he said and how he went about it. Mm. Some of the sit downs and it's going to be my way or the highway, Mr. Big Chest. And you know, I had a problem with the way he went about it. But what he did was he just paved the way for so many other guys who can't come out and say anything. Because you got to understand with the NFL and really any powerful corporation, most of the things are done behind the scenes. Right. So anytime a player or anyone speaks out, they become selfish. They become, oh, why don't you just shut up? You're making $15 million this year anyway. Well, if you deserve 20, you should complain because you're making 15. Yeah. It's just the nature of the business. So the NFL player is always in a bad spotlight for saying something. What he did was he just took the bullet for everybody. I'm going to look like the bad person. I'm going to do what I need to do to get out of this organization, and I'm going to end up where I want. Now, I was in the same, well, kind of sort of the same situation of going to Buffalo. Yeah, I got waived from the Chargers, and then Buffalo, you know, ended up picking me up because they had the worst record at the time. I was scratching and screaming. I didn't want to go. I told him. I called Buddy Nix. Buddy Nix was third in command there with the Chargers behind A.J. Smith and general manager. He was now the general manager with the Bills. Buddy Nix called me and said, hey, we want you to come. And I said, Buddy, I don't want to come to Buffalo. Period. I'm not coming. I'm not getting on a plane. Buddy Nix called me 2 hours later after I hung up the phone on him. Called me 2 hours later and said, hey, guess what? We just put your contract in and you're coming to Buffalo. I had no say-so. Now I ended up enjoying Buffalo and they paid me well to stay there. Right. But, you know, it was a different story because I did not want to go. And instead of making a big fuss publicly because I didn't want to be that guy where I'm walking into an organization seeming, seems unselfish, I didn't say anything.
I want to add another layer. I want y'all to just think this through with me. AB on his way out the door to get this money, to secure the bag, he trashed Big Ben, he trashed Mike Tomlin, and he trashed the Rooneys. So again, there's a way to get the bag without stepping on a bunch of other people because that's all this is about. Drew Rosenhaus put this dude in a bad contract, and he needed to fix that contract.
Bad contract?
Yeah. In
just a better one came the year after. But
below market. There was a reason why they had to – they did an extension, and then they restructured the extension last year, or in 2018, trying to fix. Sometimes your agent does you a disservice, and then they create this whole big mess, and AB's picking fights with Ben, Tomlin, the Rooneys, all to fix his contract. That's what this is about. He stepped on a bunch of other people and embarrassed the Rooneys. Now they're trading for a third and a fifth. Trust, there's going to be hell to pay for what AB just did. The man wanted the money. He should have been man enough. Him and Rosenhaus should have been man enough to say, all this is about is more money. His
you know what?
Wasn't going to give it
and
to
you're
him.
And you're going to get mad at AB because he got hip to the program that they were playing in silence in the background. Like Sean just said, here's the music that was playing in the locker room, not that something that we know from the outside in the vantage point. He was hip to this. AB was like, wait a minute. I'm 31. We know in the NFL, once you hit 30, they're already sniping you. We know that by birth certificate. He's like, I'm 31. And all of a sudden, Juju is getting two fewer targets than me on the same team when there is a pecking order and there is a gap between our talents and our capabilities. Respect Juju, though. And then he's like, okay, so they're trying to play me. And this is the first time I'm not leading a team in, what, 6 years? And pass completions, receptions, and also yardage. Oh, I led the league in touchdowns, but guess what I'm starting to hear? Oh, man, AB starting to lose it. You know, once you start hearing that conversation, the music cranks up. And then next thing you know, they snipe you. So before that happens, and it happens to all of us, if you don't go out there and restore order, you got to get your money in that moment, or you will lose leverage forever because your best years, according to the league, are behind you.
And they start painting that picture for you.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They paint that picture for you. They're on your way out the door because when you hear him talking in this interview and said, when he said that, oh, I was this and that for it, no one said anything for 7-8 years straight. All of a sudden, now I'm this guy. Well, everybody knows when it's contract time or when there's something is going on when they're trying to move you, that's when you start to hear the rumblings. Mm-hmm. And if you want to blame anybody, you have to blame the Steelers organization, because if you knew that he wasn't going to be there, you would have got rid of him a long time ago. You knew he didn't want to be there last year when you talked about trading him.
And so got something for him, more than a third and a fifth.
So it's their fault, because if they would have traded him last year, they probably could have got a first and a third if they would have traded him last year. But he made such a fuss and such a big deal before he got out of there, teams knew he were going, so they wasn't going to get anything more than a third and a fifth anyway.
Hey, Whitlock, you hear that music? You hear that? Juju, team MVP. Man, they were playing that song loud. And he said, finally, I know what to dance to. I'm out of here.
Look, man, history is our best indicator. Mm-hmm. And again, this Drew Rosenhaus went through this with Terrell Owens, forced his way out of Philadelphia, got more money in Dallas. Again, I'm just telling you, everybody is sitting around, oh, my God, we free. Look, this is new leverage. None of that is – this is all history repeating itself. I just have A.B., Terrell Owens, Drew Rosenhaus. When T.O. was – he went after Andy Reid. He went after Donovan McNabb. And eventually went after the Philadelphia organization. Got released, went to Dallas, and got more money. Oh, did AB just went after the quarterback, went after the coach, went after the organization. This is instead of getting released, they got a third and a five for their headache wide, diva wide receiver, and nothing's changed. And the guy gets $30 million in guaranteed new money over 3 years. I'm applauding for that.
Yeah.
But that's not blockbuster money. That's not setting a new market. Everybody's out here acting like AB did something original and this is new. It's not new. This is straight from the Rosenhaus playbook. This dude was in below market value contract. The Steelers had no more guaranteed money really to give him. It's a bad deal. They created a mess. Took a dump on Big Ben, Mike Tomlin, and the Rooney organization to get their way out. Standard operating procedure.
Wait, you just said nothing changed. You're right. He went from one non-playoff team to another. But you know what did change? He went from not being the highest paid receiver to the highest paid receiver of value based on what his production is. What also changed? He went to a situation where the quarterback and him can be on a better plane.
Good luck with Derek Carr delivering the way Big Ben does. Good luck with that offensive line. The Oakland Raiders and John Gruden, the trash heap of football, a laughing stock right now. Everything out of desperation.
Oh, and they just left the Kardashians, as you call the Steelers, but now he's in the dumps.
Hey, you know what the Kardashians do?
Make that dough.
They sell. May not like them, but they successful.
They're successful.
The Oakland Raiders? That's a whole different story right now. Everything they're doing looks desperate to me. I don't see any win here for the players. I do see being used. I mean, yeah, it's a win for AB, but for the players with an S at the end.
One domino has to fall before the rest of them start to fall.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of dominoes falling.
Yeah, in a good way. They're going to follow the lead of what AB did. It's amazing that.
And they have to be in his position.
Yeah, you got to
trash other NFL players. They're going to trash their quarterback and guys on the team.
That's
trash the
on.
Organization.
What's new? What's new about that?
That's been going on for years. Everyone knows that everything's always cool around the organization, inside the building until it's contract time. Then you really find out.
Well, he just left the situation where they were trashing his own teammate.
Right.
What happened to Le'Veon Bell when he wasn't there? How did the teammates respond to that? You're going to leave
that situation. He wasn't there.
But you're acting like this Pittsburgh Steelers. How dare you talk trash about our organization? We're stellar. You mean the same organization that looks at their players as 53 kids? You mean that organization? I'm just saying. Maybe AB was on to something that wasn't loud enough for us to hear, it was too loud
when
and
I say
to him.
When I say you two kids over here, is that offensive to you, Marshall?
Yeah, right now for this argument.
It's not.
Dare you say that.
It means y'all younger than me.
Right.
And y'all kids. But no, you're grown men. I get it.
Right.
But it's just not that offensive. These are a bunch of kids in NFL locker rooms. And so y'all need to stop. Listen, last thing. This whole little vision, this dream, over social media that somehow NFL players are going to get the same kind of power as NBA players, and this will be good for the league. Y'all, it would destroy the NFL. If NFL players acted like LeBron James and these guys and Kawhi Leonard, who misses 20 games a year, this would be a disaster.
It will be a disaster to the model that currently exists. I don't know if it would be a disaster if we were to renew that model. Look, guaranteed contracts gives you a whole lot more volume and voice and partnership. NBA players, they're delusional if they think they're truly partners with their NBA owners. It's just the fact that you have to be respectful of a player who has your money already in his pockets, where the NFL player has to go out there with hand and foot every single year, sometimes every single game to
and
get that money.
As a fan, I love it.
You don't love that.
As a fan, I do.
Why do you think
the NFL's better than the NBA?
That's not the reason.
You don't think that plays a part?
Oh, I think it plays a part, but you know what also plays a part? When you give them all their money, then they say, I ain't playing this year. How you like that experience? NBA players in terms of partnership. So look, I understand you're saying that the motivation has to come monetary. But at the same time, these players are great before they even get there in terms of inner motivation, in terms of wanting to be something. Why you got to just dangle a carrot in front of them to say, go get more?
It's only a couple guys anyway in the National Football League that can do it. Maybe one guy per team who can come out like AB and demand trades and not show up and call his shots. So the NFL can never do what the NBA is doing. They can't replicate that because there's too many stars. The NBA needs LeBron. They need the Dwayne Wade's. They need these big guys. The NFL don't need AB. They don't need these guys, but you still may have just one or two players in each organization who can call their shots and make moves like that.
Hey guys, Jason Whitlock here. This Saturday night, don't miss the biggest pay-per-view fight of the year. Two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world put their perfect records on the line. Errol Spence Jr. takes on Mikey Garcia for the World Welterweight Championship live from AT&T Stadium. Spence Jr. versus Garcia, Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Order now!
Joined now by a couple of NBA champions, Dante Jones and Brian Scalabrine. Time now for a big story delivered by Papa John's. Two medium pizzas, just $6. All right, let's move to the Lakers, whose season is officially in the tank, with the team deciding this weekend to shut down Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball for the rest of the season. After announcing the decision, LeBron and company went out and lost to the Celtics. And during the broadcast, Jeff Van Gundy suggested that the Lakers might actually be better off trading LeBron to make way for a different superstar free agent. Wow. Mm. That was in the first quarter, he said this before. The game wasn't out of hand. And to me, that lends some credibility to what he's saying, that he's not just out tossing this out on his own, that's the conversation is being considered. And I think it's a fair conversation. They should consider potentially trading LeBron James.
Yeah, I don't think it was earth-shattering when he said it. It wasn't profound because I think a lot of people have started to come around to that side of thinking. Think about it. If AD was able to command the entire Lakers roster outside of LeBron, basically, what would LeBron command if he were ever tempted or thrown out there as a potential trade candidate? Think about what teams would offer the Lakers in respect. And I think that would really put Magic Johnson in a different place than he's been as the team president. If Magic Johnson is the team president by title, by execution, by how he actually approaches his job, or is he a former player who is working as a team president? It's a big difference. Because this means you got to do the work, even if it bruises the egos, even if it really damages the ego of your franchise player, who went on record when the youngsters were being trade candidates as saying, it's just a business. Hey, man, don't worry about this. This is just how the game goes. So if LeBron puts himself in that same position, if I'm Magic Johnson, I have to find out. I have to see what that price tag looks like, even if I'm not going to make that purchase.
And here's the thing. I think it does depend on when the lottery balls bounce around where the Lakers finish up. It does depend on where a team like the Knicks finish up. Obviously, everyone wants Zion Williamson right now. But if you're LeBron and let's just say some crazy thing happens and the Lakers win the lottery, do you want a 20-year-old Zion Williamson with a 35-year-old LeBron? And what Jeff was basically describing is you got to look at the timeline. To win, and the Lakers clearly seem about winning championships, you got to get guys in their prime at the same time. LeBron is out of his prime. Zion Williams is away from his prime. So then you have to have the conversation about maybe you can maneuver that for Anthony Davis, but if you can't, then I think you have to explore the possibilities of maybe saying going younger.
I think that's an approach from the Clippers could have. And they did execute that approach with Blake Griffin. But see, what the problem the Clippers are going to have in free agency is the fact that star players are going to look at them and say, what makes me different? And why won't you trade me in year one of my contract if things don't shake out the way you think they should? And that perception is not going to leave. That's a conversation that they're going to have, whoever they interview, whoever they try and woo, because you wooed Blake Griffin to come back. You wooed him with a jersey in the rafters. We're going to retire here. You've done so much for our organization. You could be here for your entire career, and you trade him in year one. So people are going to have to answer those questions.
Boston, the Lakers.
No, the Clippers are going to have to answer those questions. And if the Lakers do the same thing, it's going to be a little bit of a stain. Not a huge stain, but a little stain of questions you're going to have to ask if there's any loyalty in your organization.
But KD.
Boston has to answer that same question as well coming up because you had Isaiah Thomas there, and he gave you all he had. He had a career year. He was third in MVP votes. He played hurt for you, and you got rid of him the next year. But
LeBron hasn't done
you do not. It's a juvenile ideal to be able to do that. You know why? Because you had a rough time. You made a couple mistakes. You didn't put the roster together the way you were supposed to. You internalize that, and you do something different, and you learn. You just don't give up in year one. You don't go recruit the best player in the game, and if it doesn't work out, because the equation is not all I just get the best player in the game, we just automatically win. No, it shows you that it's harder than just getting the best player or getting a top five player. You have to put a roster out there that can compete, a roster in line with your stars.
They almost gave up halfway through the season and wanted to trade half their team when it wasn't working out for AD.
That's not a give up. When you try to trade for AD, you try to take a generational talent and use your assets to get him. It wasn't, we're going to trade y'all for anybody. They said,
but they didn't want to trade LeBron for anybody either. You got to see what that price tag looks like.
I mean, what's the two lottery picks that you're looking at?
But two lottery picks puts you three more years away from getting to the playoffs.
I mean, you sometimes.
See, the Clippers
can
do that and operate under the radar because there are no expectations on the franchise.
One more Clipper shot. One.
No.
If you look at this,
this
was a 35 win team without LeBron, best player in the league. How many wins they gonna get this year?
They got he did not.
Less.
This is not about LeBron James. Don't get it twisted. It's not about the player. I'm talking about Star X. If you sign Star X in year one and you just abandon him in year one, you have a small stain. What I was saying about the Clippers is the Clippers can operate under the radar. Your fans are not saying we need a championship or we need to go to playoffs now. They don't have that much pressure. They're building a fan base, and they're building what they're going to have is a history of winning. They're trying to build that history
so
of winning.
So you're saying you would never even try and figure out what LeBron would command in
the open
market?
You wouldn't even take a call?
You wouldn't even find out what that tag looks like?
Because what Jeff Van Gundy wanted said, you could trade him to the Clippers and get cap space. But they've had cap space before, and that's not enough. Cap space is not enough. Guys are not just coming to the Lakers just because we have cap space. You needed one guy to come. Once you got the one, you could build off the one. But if you don't get the one, you're going to have cap space for a long period of time with a whole bunch of young guys.
So we know that, we've heard that Kawhi Leonard, we don't know. We heard Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to play with LeBron.
Paul George didn't.
And KD.
He didn't even take the beat.
KD already said, I don't want to go play with LeBron. So by sticking it to the Clippers, won't they want to come to L.A. and play with the Lakers?
We don't know that Paul George didn't want to play with LeBron.
No, we don't know that.
As a matter of fact, I know that Paul George thought about playing with LeBron.
Of course he did.
And didn't have a problem playing with LeBron. But what Paul George knew inside of his own head is that he could not operate in L.A. the same way he could operate in a market like Indiana. He understood how he got to be Paul George in Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
He had full focus on basketball. L.A. as a city is tough to be in, and if you know yourself. Like, I moved out of the city because I have a family. I have kids. The distraction of the city would have me maybe doing some other things than taking care of my responsibilities. So what
I do
is I plan
around.
Accordingly.
There's not a reality that some guys don't want to play with LeBron James. That has to factor in the fact that I want to see what LeBron James can command as well.
Okay, but there's not a star in the NBA that everybody wants to play with. There's not, so I don't. That doesn't put LeBron James against Steph Curry. Some guys don't want to play with Steph Curry. Somebody don't want to play with Kawhi. They may not like Kawhi as a person. Somebody might not want to play with
KD. Now we're
getting
hypothetical. I know there's
but it's not a, what
we're
I'm
getting
saying
a lot
is,
of hypothetical.
It's not a one size fit all for all stars. People want to play with certain people for personalities.
Do you take those calls? Do you explore?
That's why I said Magic has to do his job and not just be the former player who knows LeBron.
If I'm Magic Johnson, I figure it out with who I signed up with. I don't want that stigma on my organization. I don't want to
say. You had three number two choices.
I don't give
the best player in the league.
Here's my point, though, Dante.
I don't think the stigma is going to be on the Lakers. I think the stigma right now is on LeBron. I think the narrative is he's not all in. And that at this point, he's not all in. That he's more about his Hollywood projects. He's more into wine. He's just not all in. And so the stigma, I think, the media narrative is going to be, man, LeBron wasn't all in.
So I respect that point of view. And let's say if that is the narrative, that's what you believe and that's what you think is your answer. Then you go to LeBron James and say, you know what? We need to adjust. You need to adjust as a player, and I need to adjust in performing this roster. We signed up for this. And we adjust accordingly. Okay, if in year two, if it doesn't work the way you think it does, and LeBron doesn't make the necessary choices and decisions you think should be as your, the lead of your team, yeah, you have that conversation. But in year one of a partnership to try and bring the Lakers organization back, I do not believe
the same organization that got rid of their number two overall pick in D'Angelo Russell. They've had three number twos in a row, and they were going to trade the other two number two overall. Where's Julius Randle right now? Like, this situation right now, they had anxiety before LeBron James came here. Do we blossom with the young core, Golden State Warrior style, or do we just bring in a cherry on top and things going to be better? They brought in the cherry on top, and things are worse. They probably won't have a better record than last year.
They brought the cherry on top, and they had more injuries as an organization that amongst their core players than anybody in the league.
He's not 28.
No. But let's take that in consideration. People that you count on to play have been hurt all year. Rondo, Lonzo, LeBron for 18 games.
Let me just say.
So key contributors have been hurt.
The Celtics traded away Pierce and Garnett, and they're still reaping the rewards of those trades forever. Jason Tatum, Brown, Kyrie are there because of that trade.
Absolutely.
You're not making that call? Like, what are you going to give me for LeBron James? And LeBron's going to get old and one day retire, and that pick could be a number one pick in the draft. You're not taking that call? You have to take
that
call.
You cannot put what Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett were doing at that point in time
against
LeBron James is doing. LeBron James.
So he's going to get more.
He's going to get more.
That's not the answer to this equation. If you get more assets. What I'm saying is.
What team, Pau Gasol and Dwight Howard can leave for nothing. Oh, I forgot. Kevin Durant can leave for nothing. You know what? LeBron, just retire if we're better or
so
not.
So what does youth equal? What does youth equal in the NBA? Youth equals a championship.
Hope.
Right? Hope. Still hope. It's only hope. We're going to trade LeBron James for
hope. You can spin that all you want. It's hope, man. People love young players.
For potential.
But you know what? We brought in LeBron for reality, and now they're stuck with hope again. Dante Jones and Brian Scalabrine are back. Let's return to the NBA, where issues surrounding the league's relationship with social media are continuing to reverberate. Last week, Commissioner Adam Silver admitted that social media has made today's players unhappy and anxious. And now one of the league's elder statesmen, Dirk Nowitzki, is lamenting how technology has changed the game, telling The Athletic, quote, "I don't know if it's about winning as much anymore as it is looking good on Instagram, Twitter, having followers and having clicks and likes. I do agree 20 years ago people weren't on their phones as much. When we won, it was fun. When we would play music after games, when we lost, we were pissed. Guys would sit around the locker room waiting for the coach to talk. And during that wait, there would be conversations taking place. Now it's 15 guys on their phones." Hey, I'm glad Dirk got my DMs and text messages.
Yeah, he fine. He on his phone too much. Yeah.
He just said everything that I believe.
Yeah, and it's always an old man. Always old as hell playing a young man's game, whether it's on the court, Dirk, or off the court, social media, Dirk, that always got to complain about what these young kids are doing and doesn't know how to read it intelligently. Look at it. On the court, Dirk is 40, 41 years old. It's over almost, right? One foot in, one foot out. I'm retired. I don't know about this retirement stuff. Off the court, you now dabble into social media. You know who's on there. You know what that's intended for. You know who has the proper usage of that. It's a generation or two under you. So now you're trying to look at it and try to read the symbols and he doesn't understand how it goes. It's funny. I told this story earlier and they were laughing. They're like, I don't understand the story. I'm going to tell you this. We went shopping at Walmart yesterday. Shout out to Porter Ranch, your hood. I was up there at Porter Ranch, Super Walmart, right? My wife just says, oh, we should get this tricycle for our daughter. Our daughter's like 2 months old. My son, who's three, looked at my wife and said, I don't want no tricycle. You know why? He's past that. He doesn't even want to go to that. He's like, that's too young for me. That's not what I am. Dirk is looking at this the wrong way. Yeah, Dirk, what you own now ain't a tricycle. You own something else. Let these kids ride that tricycle. Get your big ass up off it. And that's what's happening right now. Dirk is misreading this.
Why is everyone blaming social media for all problems in the world the last 4 weeks? It's just like in 2000, they blame rap music for everything wrong with the NBA. Look at the way these guys dress with them baggy clothes, and it's rap music's fault. Now, everything is social media's fault. But you know what? The league was fine then. And the league will get through this, and the league is fine now. I get it. Like, maybe players don't care as much at the time about winning and losing, and that's what he's complaining about. But in general, you got to think the league is in a pretty good place. It's a very popular league, and a lot of people talk about
global.
It.
Global. It's a global league now.
The league is in a very good place because of the global brand that it is, because it has more viewers on the game. However, what Witt and what Dirk are saying is that when you get these players in their interviews and when you start in the combine and start talking to the players, their first priority is not necessarily trying to be the best basketball player they can be. Their first priority is building their brand. And how do they build their brands? Through social media. They're trying to be a brand in this game. They're trying to bring more to the table than just be a basketball player. And that's how they use it, via social media. So a kid is based now according to how many likes or the approval of others that they've never met before. When I grew up playing basketball, it was the approval of my coach and my parents. And if my parents thought I was doing all right, I was cool. I didn't have to worry about anybody else in the crowd that I thought about. But now they have so many other factors that control their mind and their self-esteem and what they view of themselves. So that is what he's saying. He's saying,
how is building a brand prioritized by likes? It's built on how good you are. You're a baller. Zion has the biggest brand. You know why? Because he's the best player in college right now. Like, we want to parse the two.
But LaMelo is right behind him.
Good for LaMelo.
He's not LaMelo. That's what I'm saying. It's not about your talent. It's about your marketability.
But you act like he built that. You know what? He's also a player. People said he had game. Whether he has game or not, whether it materialized or not.
But it's not about the talent. He's not number two. He's not the number two person behind Zion in talent. He's the guy with the biggest brand.
We're talking about your motivation. We're not talking about the realization. We're not talking about what comes from
it. How about Marcellus? Why do we got to just skip over Dirk's point? And this is just facts. This isn't age. He's saying, and this is true, the young people in the locker room aren't communicating with each other. You don't have to put a number on that. Communication will always be the key to a successful relationship in any regard. They're not communicating. You go to dinner with young people. They're not communicating. Their heads are down.
I can say myself. I'm at dinner with my family, and I'm in my phone. Unfortunately, we're not having the same conversations we were 10 years ago.
And that's not good. I don't care what age you are. The less communication, the more you interpret things through your phone, it's easier to demonize people. It's easier to think the worst than when you're communicating with people, like Dirk is saying. And again, so you start jumping to conclusions about your teammates. Oh, he didn't pass me the ball because of X, Y, and Z. If there was a little bit more communication, he might be like, no, it was actually because of A, B, C, and D.
No, Dirk said you're on your phone and you don't act like you care about winning. When the reality is, I care about winning, and you're thinking I'm building my brand on my phone instead of realizing that I built my brand on the court. Coach always said,
not communicating myself is not good.
Look, I don't know if you... Our world is on our phone now. So, look, it doesn't mean I'm on social media because I'm on my phone. I think a lot of people always draw that parallel and say, since you're on your phone, what app are you on? You may be just getting information. You may be in communication with your own family.
Yeah, you may not be communicating with your teammates.
Or you may.
The people most important to you. Yeah. That's what Dirk's saying.
Hey, guys. Jason Whitlock here. Thank you for listening to the Speak for Yourself podcast. If you like what you hear, then you should take a minute to check out the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, hosted by The Herd's very own Joy Taylor. On the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, you'll tap into a different take on the world of sports. Joy will break down all the biggest stories from the NFL, NBA, culture, in and out of sports, and everything in between. So subscribe now for a weekly episode of Maybe I'm Crazy every Tuesday night on your favorite podcast platform. Now back to the show.
Whitlock and Wiley, Sean Merriman is back with us. Let's return to this weekend's huge NFL news, where the Steelers traded Antonio Brown to the Raiders for a third and fifth round pick. John Gruden didn't give up much for one of the league's best receivers, but he could be in for a rude awakening once AB gets in the locker room
And Mike Tomlin, for his part, will now be able to coach without having to deal with one of the primary sources of drama in Pittsburgh last season. I actually think this is going to work out better for Mike Tomlin than John Gruden. AB's going to be a headache. Diva wide receivers don't lead to championships. Mike Tomlin's going to be able to coach his team. I think it's going to work out for Mike.
Oh, man. Gruden won this one. Oh, he's laughing all the way to the $100 million bank. He had to give up Little third and fifth round. Get out of here, you special teamers. Y'all weren't going to do nothing for my team anyway. And then Mike Tomlin looks up. He's like, all right, guys, gather around. And you used to look at Le'Veon Bell in his eyes, Antonio Brown in his eyes. Now you're looking at Juju and James Conner. No disrespect, but the former defender in me likes my chances going against those two. And I'm just thinking that John Gruden gave up so little to get so much, and now you're going to help out a young Derek Carr who's had his roller coaster ride. Jared Cook at the tight end position could be a little something out there in Oakland.
Yeah, it's a huge win for John Gruden.
Huge.
I mean, for them to only, for a couple reasons, for them to only give up a third and a fifth round, that's an automatic win. But more importantly, he get a chance to silence everybody who keep talking about Khalil Mack and him leaving the team and Amari Cooper. Mm. That was the only way, in my eyes, that he can kind of bring himself back to royalty, saying, hey, I know I messed up with these guys, but look what I did. I brought in Antonio Brown for a third and fifth round pick, because now you don't have to worry about those first round picks that you got, because, you know, first round picks, it's going to take a year or two for them to get going and get their footprint in the National Football League, so you don't have to sit around and see what they're going to do. You know what Antonio Brown's going to do as soon as he walk in that locker room. You know his production.
Be late for meetings.
Yeah.
Be a headache.
But John Gruden has had nothing but praise for Antonio Brown. He had nothing but praise. The hardest worker, the best route runner. He would tell all the younger guys, hey, if you want to learn how to be a wide receiver in the National Football League, watch Antonio Brown. So you might have to deal with some other stuff. And John Gruden had to deal with a big personality before down there at Tampa. He knows how to, Keyshawn, give me the damn ball. So he knows how to deal with
Didn't
these
he get
big,
rid of Keyshawn?
Yeah, he put him on timeout. he put him on a big timeout, paid timeout. But look, he still kept the three first rounders. Think about it. You kept your first round picks. You bring in a guy that you have said is not one of the hardest workers. The hardest worker. He's been praising him.
There's other things to say about Antonio Brown.
Yeah, leading the league in touchdowns. You can say that.
You can say that. You could hardest worker, leading the league in touchdowns, all-time great receiver, one of the biggest headaches in the history of football, whose organization just got rid of him. Again, when you see somebody in the divorce, sitting with a divorce lawyer, trust me, they're there for a reason.
Yeah.
That when you see a dime piece sitting in the divorce lawyer, there's a reason.
Because the husband didn't appreciate you.
No.
Pittsburgh didn't appreciate me, baby.
It could be because there's such a headache, they had to leave that alone. Pittsburgh understands his value better than anybody, and they just said, peace out. That's a warning sign.
Pittsburgh didn't get rid of him. He wanted out.
Yeah, perfect.
If it was up to them, no matter what he said in all the interviews and Mr. Big Chest and I went out of here and it's my show, they would have still brought him back. Oh. It was his choice that he wanted to leave in the first place.
Uncle Jimmy's here. I hear you've got an award you want to give out. We got a new little deal we're adding here. You're going to give out an award every day?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah. Long time coming. We're going to call it the Big Dummy of the Day Award. And today, with no further ado, it goes to you, my nephew, Big Dummy of the Day. We even set up even having the devastating galls and the audacity to say that LeBron James need to be traded. Oh. Big Dummy.
Well, I'm glad he heard you, not me, say that.
Yeah. Your time's coming.
It fits. No, that hat doesn't fit me. If it fit, we're locked. Look at that. Get in there. Get your head in there.
Okay, we can cut some holes in it.
Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier today about Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown didn't change the game. He doubled down on a corrosive mentality pervasive throughout the modern American society. By any means necessary, secure the bag.
This is a business, and he made a business decision about him, the corporation, himself. And it's not going to be to the detriment of the league. I think it's going to be to Antonio Brown's favor. He landed somewhere he desired.
All right, Uncle Jimmy.
Not what he wanted.
What's your take on Antonio Brown?
First of all, listen to me when I say it to you, son. AB's done. He Wayne Newton. He's Siegfried and Roy. He Elvis Presley and Celine Dion.
You calling AB the GOAT then? A GOAT?
Where in the hell did you get GOAT at? I said he done. Where do all of the greats go when they done?
Hall of Fame.
Yeah. They go to Las Vegas, Merkless. Boy, you, the more you sit there, boy, you getting dumber just like my nephew.
You got a hat? You got a hat?
Where the Raiders play at next year?
Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Vegas.
Antonio Brown, done. He Fat Elvis. A.B. Hey, man, look. A.B. in that yellow mustache going to be down greeting people like big whales at the front of the Tropicana Hotel out there in Vegas.
Just, So he's going to be Joe Louis did that. Joe Louis, the boxer, he worked at the Vegas
Hotel.
Boy,
if you don't shut your mouth, why don't you ever in your life compare A.B. to the Brown Bomber?
I'm sorry.
Ooh, jeez. Sweet black baby Jesus, help me. Look, you like movie analogies, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I got one for you. Here we go. Listen to this one. I got a movie for you. Antonio Brown and John Gruden starring in Ocean's 84. The greatest heights in NFL history.
Oh, man. Don't do that.
A.B. and Gruden taking Al Davis' son, Mark, taking him for every dime they can get. Gruden got him for $100 million. Now A.B. talking about, damn, dog, can I get about 50 of them stacks? Word.
I got to give you credit. That would be another a hell of a wit log. You should have called me this morning.
Another reason
that.
To prove why I should be hosting this show. I got another one for you.
You're on a mission. You're on a mission.
Antonio Brown and John Gruden. Hmm. How about this one? Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston. You know, y'all got quiet.
Yeah, rest in peace. Respect.
Bobby and Whitney, huh?
They just ain't good for each other. They codependency. They bring out the worst in each other. You know what I'm saying? Chucky and Mr. Big Chest. Man, they gonna be in a Vegas nightclub doing shots of tequila off each other's nipples. Laughing, talking about all the money they done stole from Mark Davis. Y'all remember that song with Bobby Whitney? But we got something in common. I know I made mistakes before, but now I understand what them mistakes were for.
So I remember.
That's going to be A.B. and Gruden.
I did that, man.
Setting up doing lines of coke.
Man, stop.
In the Spearmint Rhino Hotel. Don't nobody know where the video came from.
Ain't no hotel. That ain't a hotel. I wish, though. I'm going upstairs.
That would be special. That would be all right. Woo, man.
Next level.
Woo, that was good. That was Bobby and Whitney. I liked that one too, to be honest with you.
That dance again.
All right, it's stupid. Let me go to my Antonio Brown approval rating today.
Oh, this won't be good.
Yeah, he's dropping some points. I moved him up in job performance. He got paid. He wanted his money. He got a bad contract.
There you go. There you go. Respect.
Moved him up. Stayed the same all-time greatest 23. Character stays the same of 4. Authenticity, I'm dropping him 6 points. This has always been about the money. He should have just said it was about the money instead of taking a dump on Big Ben and Mike Tomlin and the Steelers organization. Inauthentic.
Oh, yeah, always about the money, but I got to say it. My actions speak louder than my words. I give them all higher marks for what he did on the court, on the field and off the field. You're a labor hater. I always knew that about you. You don't like labor. You don't like a player having that power. That player had the power over ownership.
Yeah, you're that player.
And guess what? He is a GOAT right now. 88. Respect to what he was able to do. And he had to throw a tantrum to do it, but it got done.
I can't believe you got him in the GOAT status.